ओम ज्ञानति मिरांदस्य ज्ञानंदन शलोकय चक्षुरन्मीलितां येना तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूप कदम अहम् ददति स्वपदंतिकम् वंशकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गिराधर शिव सति गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम कृष्ण भगवान वचांसि मे ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय सो तत् विद्वाद् भीर असत्प्रितो तत् विद्वाद् भीर असत्प्रितो तेनोऽस्माभिः कृतो नृप मेनोऽस्मभिः कृतो नृपः न ग्राहीष्यत् अधर्मकृत् न ग्राहीष्यत् अधर्मकृत् लोकाधिकरसङ्गतम् लोकातिकार संदग्धम् धनिष्याम स्वतेजस धनिष्याम स्वतेजस तद्विद्वद्भिरसत्वृत वेनोऽस्माभिः कृतो नृप संतितो यदि न वचम् न ग्रहिष्यत् अधर्मकृत् लोकाधिकारसङ्गतम् दहिष्याम स्वतेजस synonyms that his mischievous nature vidagdi aware of asatprita impious king santvitaha in spite of being pacified yadi if Naha, our. Vacham, words. Na, not. Grahishyati, he will accept. Adharmakrit, the most mischievous. Lokadikara, by public condemnation. Sanktadham, burnt. Tanishyama, we shall burn. Svatejasa, by our prowess. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The saintly sages continued thinking, of course we are completely aware of his mischievous nature, yet nevertheless we enthroned Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public and we will join them. Thus by our prowess we shall burn him to ashes. Purport. Sainted persons are not interested in political matters, yet they are always thinking of the welfare of the people in general. Consequently, they sometimes have to come down to the political field and take steps to correct the misguided government or royalty, have a spiritual prowess. Now, saintly persons have no such power due to the influence of the age of Kali. Indeed, the Brahmanas do not even have the power to perform sacrifices in which animals are put into a fire to attain a new life. Sometimes Brahmanas in Kali Yuga have no power even to rise early in the morning to attend Mangal Arati, what to speak of anything else. Right? Even such a simple sacrifice as come in the morning and chant the holy name. Under these circumstances, instead of actively taking part in politics, saintly persons should engage in chanting the Maha Mantra Hare Krishna by the grace of Lord Chaitanya. By simply chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, the general Smabhi Kriton Ripa Santvito Yadina Vacham Na Grahishyada Dharma Kritlaka Adikara Sangdaktham Dahishyama Swatejasa. The saintly sages continued thinking, of course, we are completely aware of his mischievous nature, yet nevertheless we enthrone Vena. If we cannot persuade King Vena to accept our advice, he will be condemned by the public and we will join them. Thus, by our prowess, we shall burn him to ashes. So, interesting that sages had plan B. If preaching is not going to have a good effect, they were planning to annihilate King Vena, which, as we will learn, they eventually did. And that political science means there are certain diplomatic principles, and it says that there are four diplomatic principles to use in politics. And so the first one is Sama. Sama means the process of pacifying the enemy, right? Try to find common language with the person, trying to make friends with the person. If that does not work, next one is Dana. Give him something. Bribe him. give him some gift. If that does not work, then Bheda. Bheda means divide and rule, of course. And the ultimate one is Danda, punishment. So two positive and two negative principles, right? Positive ones are pacifying, giving something, building nice relationships. If that is not working, if that is failing, then negative, right? And first one is to divide and then to punish. And it's very interesting that one of my godbrothers, he used to work in riot police forces, and he was telling how they were dealing with rebellious, you know, whoever, demonstrations, and he would say that every rebellious group always has a leader, and so the leader is leading other guys, and so first thing they have to decide, you know, understand who is the leader in here, who is the head. And then second thing they do, they would form, you know, they would break into the crowd and they would separate the leader from the rest, and they would get the leader down, beat him down, and arrest the leader. And without the leader, the followers would become like, you know, herd of sheep. They wouldn't know what to do. So that's easy, right? Divide, you know, cut the head off, and then the body becomes useless. So, so divide and rule. Simple, right? But this is only if the positive process is not working. So, first, no one should try harsh methods immediately. First, there should be an attempt to reason with the person. And so this is what the sages were planning to do. And, of course, their involvement in politics is exceptional case. Prabhupada explains in the purport that saintly personalities, brahmanas, they are aloof from politics because they are meant to be neutral, right? Neutral does not mean to be indifferent. Neutral means acting for the welfare of all. Like, Prabhupada was perfectly neutral personality, and he was described as friend of all, right? That he, and six Goswamis are described also as perfectly neutral personalities. Thira, Dhira, Janab, rogues and ruffians, right? Why? Because Nirmatsaro Pujito, because they were serving the Supreme Lord without any envy, right? They were not against anyone, so they were trying to act for everybody's welfare. That's why they were appreciated by all. And so this is how Brahmanas and Vaishnavas are supposed to be, neutrally positive towards everyone, right? Equal. Samoham sarabhuteshu na medvishtosi na priya, as Krishna says. I am equal to everyone, and I have no friends or enemies, because everyone is, at the end of the day, is God's child, and so parents naturally love their children regardless of whether the children are good or mischievous, right? But then in the second part of the verse, Krishna says, those who worship me, to them I show special favor, which is kind of natural. That, for example, sun is very neutral and gives light and heat to everyone, but only those who come in touch with the sun, they get the benefit. But those who sit in the darkness, despite of the presence of the sun, they cannot derive any benefit. So, in the same way, Krishna is tempted. He naturally shows them more favor. Right? And so, Brahman is supposed to be neutral, but politics means you are not neutral. Politics means you are for someone and against someone, right? And that's why typically, you know, even nowadays, that sadhus involved in political affairs, because politics means friends and enemies, that's not the position of a sadhu, so people cannot take this kind of sadhus very seriously. But sometimes there are circumstances which actually demand sadhu's involvement also. I was thinking of very, and these are of course very rare exceptions, and I'm thinking of quite recent case in India. Again, interesting things happening due to the advancement of the golden age. That one traditional sadhu, and he is the Mahant of Gorakhpur temple, Yogi Adityanath. So he went into politics. And he's very good in Dharma. And he, for example, promoted, and he's very smart, even though quite young. And he says that we require economical development, and there is a lot of interest from people around the world. This is how he defined that, right? He said this is very good for our international image, for developing relationships, for economics, for everything, so we have to invest in holy places. And thus he started investing big money, and including into Vraj, right? Vrindavan, and I'm sure that if you go now, if you haven't been there for over more than a year, you will see there are very clear, visible improvements. For example, yeah, the last Kartik, I went around Govardhan, and it was such a different experience. All the way, you just walk in a soft sand, all the way around. No more, you know, sharp stones or other things you have to go through. So, like, first time I didn't had many other improvements all over Raja. And so he's investing some phenomenal amount of money, well, equivalent of millions of dollars into Vraj, which is really nice. And nevertheless, he knows about the level of corruption in India. It's mind-blowing. I don't know if anyone heard the joke that there was a kind of survey which country is the most corrupt, and India came to be number two, and to take them off the first place, right? And so, anyway, you know, it's like everybody knows that if government is giving any money, any grant, maximum 40% is reaching the, you know, is used for the actual purpose. And 60% is settling in people's pockets. And that's like a rule. Everybody knows about it. Right? And everyone accepted that. But Yogi Adityanath decided to crack down on it, because this is also Narendra Modi's policy, right? Crack down on corruption. And so he find who could be using those funds honestly and actually investing them into service rather than putting into the pockets. And actually he got, in Vrindavan, he got ISKCON and Radharaman Temple involved, because they define that these are, of course, everything's relative, but these are the best, actors, right, who could be doing the job. And in other places, in Braj, you know, they defined whom to. But that's why regularly he makes surprise visits. And, you know, normally, like, if Prime Minister is coming anywhere, it's a big news, everyone is expecting him to come, they prepare everything, you know, nice reception and all. And of course, you know, all the matters, they settle very quickly, make sure that there are, nothing is, you know, kind of, there are no reasons for them to, you know, nothing embarrassing for them. But then he makes these surprise visits, and they don't expect him. He just shows up in his car and goes right into their office and checks their accounts, etc., and demands the reports. And of course, many people, you know, lose their positions, because, you know, still there is corruption. And so, but by these surprise visits, he made everybody else alert. They know, okay, he made this surprise visit there, and those people lost their positions. So at any time he can come to our place. So everyone really got the message that it's not going to work, it's not going to be tolerated. So it's not the business of a sadhu to be policeman like that, because he's sannyasi actually. Yogi Adityanath, so why he's doing that? But he's doing that because he knows that he cannot trust this job to anybody else, right? He appoints some anti-corruption agent, and that anti-corruption agent becomes corrupted himself in no time. What can be done? And so therefore, sometimes there are, this has to be avoided. And so normally what sadhus would do, because yes, Kali Yuga means, you know, that you should not be doing that, but there is nobody else. And so by the force of circumstances, sometimes we have to get involved in things which are not advisable and which are even criticizable for sadhus, but which are unavoidable. And of course Prabhupada was criticized for so many things he was doing, which typically sadhus would never do. And about certain things he writes directly in his purports, even Bhagavad Gita purports. He says that sannyasis are not meant to get involved in marriages. And he said, you know, my god brothers are criticizing me so badly, they say this Swami became a matchmaker, right? But he says, what can I do? I know that these disciples of mine need to be properly married, and there is no one else to do that, so I have to do it like that. So these are exceptional cases when sadhus, brahmanas, even sannyasis have to do certain things which they should not be doing, but there is no other option available. And so as in every rule there are exceptions, and that's why, yeah, we see those things. And there is a kind of traditional approach to the matter, and that is, again, sadhus, brahmanas, vaishnavas, sannyasis training up leaders for the society, training up political leaders. And very interesting example is, Prabhupada refers to a number of times, is Chanakya Pandit, who trained Chandragupta. And his life story is very, very interesting, because he was, I think there is the whole movie about his life story. I haven't watched, but I know it's there. That he was living in a kingdom of one King Nanda, and this King Nanda was very materialistic, and he was performing some kind of competition amongst brahmanas for the Shastric knowledge and wisdom. And so he announced that all the brahmanas should come, and, you know, no one knew the answer. All the pandits were silent. But then the answer came from the public, and the king was very surprised. He said, wow, such a sharp answer. Who gave that answer? If you can come forward, please. And then Chanakya Pandit came forward, but he was not looking very attractive. He didn't have like very stout and strong body, because brahmanas, not necessarily they have this kind of bodies, beautiful bodies, normally kshatriyas. would not be able to give such a brilliant answer. Judging people by the body, tongues. Very soft hearts, but sharp tongues, so they can say truth, and sometimes it's not very palatable to hear. So he said, if you judge people like that, I think you're not qualified to be the king. So if you honest, you have to step down and give it to someone more qualified. Which enraged the king, and he ordered his guards to arrest Chanakya Pandit, which proved again his disqualification, because Brahmanas should not be punished for speaking the truth, even if this truth is not very palatable. But Chanakya Pandit already anticipated this kind of result, so he quickly ran into the crowd and escaped. And so they couldn't catch him. But when he came back, he was thinking, this king is real nonsense, so I have to remove him. But how he could remove? Because he was a simple Gurukul teacher in a village. That was his position. But then he started looking for an appropriate person to empower. And then he found Chandragupta, who happened to be the prince, but he was very poor, coming from very poor family. Happens sometimes that some royal family might lose the kingdom due to political affairs, and even though qualified, might not have any position in the society. But then, then after Chandragupta said, what can I do, what kind of dakshina I can give you, because this is Vedic tradition, right? If someone gets spiritual knowledge, then there has to be reciprocation. But on the whole kingdom, you have to conquer Nanda and become the king. And this is what Chandragupta did. He actually conquered Nanda. He gathered his army, got found some allies, and accomplished the task. And then he said, Guru Maharaj, yes, the kingdom is yours. And Chanakya Pandit said, I don't require a kingdom. I just wanted you to be the king. Because Chandragupta said, I'll be the king, but you will be my Raja Guru, right? But Chanakya Pandit said, I'm not interested in that. I don't want any positions. I'm happy in my village teaching kids, but I just want, this kingdom to have properly trained king qualifications. So that saintly personalities, Brahmanas, Vaishnavas, they are not interested in personal benefit, but they act as if they are interested in the benefit, but then they use this benefit for serving Krishna and taking care of everybody else, right? Like Srila Prabhupada, he incorporated ISKCON, so if you look at it, it's spiritual corporation, right? Anyone's sense gratification, it's used for serving Krishna and benefiting everyone else. So this is the right attitude, and this is the right approach, brahminical approach. And so yes, sometimes you have to get involved to benefit people, and sometimes there are exceptional cases to get involved and stop wrong things also, right? And so this is what the Brahmanas were planning. We'll get involved, try to reason with Bena, but if that will not work, we'll have to remove him. Plan B, when we travel with my spiritual master, Shailendra Dhyanaswami in Russia, sometimes he jokes, because Russia is really unpredictable country. And he says, if something can go wrong it will go wrong in Russian, so we have to be ready for that. So, very smart approach. And so this is how we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to have this approach all the time, that yes, we do our best, but we should always count for the worst case scenario. We should be ready for any surprise, even the most unpleasant one. All right, any questions, comments? Suggestions or complaints? Yes. Do you check it on Barabra?
You know, different branches we say. And you know, sometimes if we are dealing with all the managerial affairs or different other, you know, whether it's financial or anything that's not directly Brahminical, learning and teaching scriptures, then how does that help devotees to, if we continue to do their services, will that still help us over a long time to still come to the platform of Brahmanas, or
Well, Brahmana means he is on the top of the social orders, right? This is the top level in the society. And that's why it's explained in the 7th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that in case of need, Brahman can perform the job of other varnas. Brahmana can take up the role of a kshatriya in emergency. Like a classical example, Parashuram, right? Born in a Brahmana family, but the circumstance was such that he had to perform the duty of the kshatriya, and we know many other instances like that. It's explained that Brahmana can perform the role of a vaishya, and actually default mode for Brahmanas is vaishya mode rather than kshatriya mode. Dogs, so Brahmana, because we see that we have so pure Brahmana shift into self-employed mode immediately or as soon as possible, right? Do whatever it takes to shift into self-employed mode. I'll finish. And so, yes, that Brahmana means in emergency circumstances he can perform the functions of selfish interests. You know, like if Brahmana is doing business, he should not be cheating like an ordinary vaishya, right? Or if Brahmana is doing a kshatriya job, he should not get corrupted, etc., etc. Try to be careful not to lose one's purity. But yes, it says that three most important occupational activities for Brahmanas are Yajana, what are the other? Patna Patana, Dana Pratigraha, right? That perform yagyas and collect money and or other wealth and distribute that wealth or utilize that wealth in Krishna service. So these are the six primary occupations for Brahmanas. And so, yes, that there can be emergency circumstances when we do other things, but Brahmanas should try to find replacements for these other activities and focus on the six most important ones. All right.
we are not yet Brahmanas. We haven't this. We haven't got that training. So we understand the Vedic times that they were already trained up as Brahmanas, and then they took up different roles. But in our case, we are not quite Brahmanas yet, and they already we are kind of trying to train our minds and our lifestyles to come to all the six principles that Brahmanas are meant to be engaged in. And but then when you're not sufficiently trained, you're still doing other activities.
Michael Fred was also given to Kshatriyas and Vaishyas. But still, Prabhupada was very clear that this society is primarily meant to train people as Brahmanas. So in our society, if someone is given Brahminical threat, this is the indication that one is already a Brahmana. And so Brahmana means we have to try to become qualified and act within the parameters of Brahminical activities as far as possible. We understand that circumstances might not allow this to happen immediately, but at least Lucius is really important because there are so many points connected to that in Vedic culture and in Krishna conscious development. Okay, you'll be next, yes.
But as you said, in the case of Veena, and this sage is the certain example to use the steps, because they were pacifying him, sound down, they didn't need to skip, or because some of the cases to case, it goes like that, someone can lay them and down.
Well, yeah, it's not really recommended to skip the positive part, you know, without trying to kind of reason with a person immediately, you know, punish, that's not a good thing. So, I mean, of course, in certain cases, like with terrorists, right? There is no negotiation with terrorists because everybody knows it's useless. So there can be exceptions, but normal approach is try to reason first, and only after failure we can go into the negative part.
If Amma Maharaj asked for a good son, then why did he get a bad son?
The father of Bena, you mean? Yes? Yes, there are reasons for everything, and so we might ask Krishna for certain things, but it's not that Krishna is obliged to do everything we ask him for, and we have our plans and our desires, and Krishna has his own plans, and so sometimes things are not happening according to our expectation. Yes.
Regarding to the Bijapur's questions, can you share some of the points why a Brahmana should...
The seventh canto, that employment means position of a dog, because, you know, if you serve someone who is not Krishna conscious, right, then according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's definition in Bhakti Loka, this is the real Asat Sangha. Because just coming in touch with people, kind of having surface contact with people, like he gives an example, you go to the marketplace and you purchase something, and that person might not be a devotee at all, right? Might be eating meat or whatnot. But, you know, he's selling something you are interested in, and you're paying him money and get your goods, and then you forget about this person. So it doesn't affect your consciousness, right? But if you're dependent on someone for your livelihood, then you have to really think how to please that person, etc. And if that person, and in order to understand how to please that person, you have to understand how this person thinks, what this person wants, etc., to actually absorb yourself in that person's consciousness, right? So it becomes real asat-sangha. And, of course, sangha is everything. Sangha is really important, and so it becomes very bad materialistic influence. And many devotees suffer because of that. So that's why Prabhupada was pushing for self-sufficiency, because he saw that devotees are so much dependent on materialistic people for their livelihood, and so he said, you should be independent. But for that sake, you don't necessarily have to like move to the rural location. If you shift into self-employed mode, you will achieve quite a high level of independence. Right? Or at least depend on someone who is on a higher level of consciousness. Like if devotees are doing government contracts, right? Taking government contracts. First of all, there is a lot of freedom. You can decide what you want to do, how you want to do, as long as you work within these parameters. And second of all, you know, like, to get position in the government, at least in the Western world, it requires quite high level of consciousness and quite high level of responsibility and accountability and everything. So in one sense, it's much better association, right? If you're depending on someone, at least don't depend from some Vaishya. At least depend from a Kshatriya. That's much better situation. There are many other reasons, but yeah, these are the primary ones, I would say. That it actually pollutes our consciousness. All right, anything else? Yes, Prabhu.
Would you like to tell us how he joins on?
It's a very long story, but I don't think I'll be.
Which year was it? How long ago?
89, fully. But I came across Prabhupada's books in 84. But, Bhagavad Gita really impressed me. Two things, Bhagavad Gita and Hare Krishna mantra really impressed me. So that's why I decided to join. Because I never ever came across the book which gives such a precise and clear and deep definitions for anything you want. Like, what is karma? What is yoga? What is reincarnation? What is meditation? What is consciousness? What's in this world? What lies beyond this world? It's amazing. What is nirvana? So many things are so crystal, given such a crystal clear definitions. And yeah, Hare Krishna mantra is just, you know, you start chanting Hare Krishna, your life will never be the same, right? It's like Krishna just enters into your life and so many amazing things start happening. So yeah, Krishna consciousness is...